time to cool it out, baby.
Twin Cities Tank, it is time to cool it out because we just did an interview with Maria Bamford. She's at Acme all weekend until Saturday, the 17th of April, 2010. Go see Maria Bamford. She was nice enough to sit down with us and talk to us for a little bit, and here it is.
All right, we're sitting here with Maria Bamford. How you doing, Maria?
Hey, good. Thank you for having me on your wonderful Minnesota podcast. Yeah. I like your podcasting tub.
Thanks. Everybody we always get comments on the tub.
Oh, really?
It's been called the lunchbox and now the tub, so we have to come up with a universal name for it.
It's nice.
It's because we lose things, Maria.
Organized. That's what they tell you. Go to the container store. Get things in different sizes that fit the things that you have.
Nice crate and barrel.
Yeah.
I had a hard time
believing that the container store existed until I went in the container store.
Yeah.
And my head exploded and I never went into the container store again.
They design space.
It's intimidating, yeah.
Organize your life. Maria is in town this week at Acme Wednesday through Saturday, right?
Or Sunday. Yes, Saturday. So Saturday. Two shows Thursday.
So she had her first one tonight.
Friday. My last show, last night, they have weeks Tuesday through Saturday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, no, I just confused you. But did I just say Tuesday through Saturday? I meant Tuesday through Saturday.
Did you?
Well, thank you for clearing that.
I really cleared things up. Yes, I did.
I got my information.
No, I'm wrong.
I'm lying.
I don't know. The first question they ask you when you're about to be hospitalized is, what day is it? And
or to get knocked out, too.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
How many fingers? What day is it?
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that before. Yeah. And when you get knocked out, they see if you have a concussion.
Yep. They want to know that you know where you are and that you can see things, apparently. Which I don't know how that helps.
Well, yeah, and what day is it? Yeah. That's kind of up in the air. Like, I don't often know what day it is.
Right, yeah. I mean, how do they know that you're concussed and not just stupid?
Or just kind of not interested in the day.
Or interested in the
really
conversation.
Go by I don't really go by Gregorian calendars. Yeah. It's not really what I'm into.
Ask me how my day went, not how many fingers am I holding up.
There was a boxer from the 80s. I can't remember who it was, but he was getting beat up, and they asked him in the corner. They were going to stop the fight, and they said, how many fingers am I holding up? And he said, two. And they said, do you know where you are? And he said, yes, I'm in Madison Square Garden getting the shit kicked out of me.
Oh,
I said, okay, well, you can continue
then. All right, everything's okay.
I said, okay, you're fine.
Did you see the wrestler?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is just like stand-up comedy.
That's so.
It is. Like, I mean, I could relate with that character. Like, you're just destroying yourself until you just fling yourself into the crowd as your heart breaks.
We had a professional wrestler on our show a couple days ago, local guy, and I asked him that same question. I said, how accurate is the wrestler? And he said, it's spot on. When it's depression and the drug use, the absolute delusion that goes along with it, I was like, wow.
So you didn't get that quote quite right. He said, it's spot on. It's exactly like stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah. Right. Did he say that?
It's exactly what he said. It was weird.
That is so cool.
So, okay, Maria, you are from Duluth.
Yes.
And you will cop to it, right?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. We had Patrice O'Neill on about a month ago. He took a big, huge dump on Minnesota. Just for about an hour and a half. So we need somebody.
What did he say was wrong with it?
I don't think he was having a good weekend. I don't think his sets were going that well.
He was at the mall, and I think
the mall.
Right.
Well, that's the problem. Because people at the mall is like, I just went to Ann Taylor and bought some new sleeveless tops. And now I want to sit down and have a piece of cheesecake with a booze drink.
I mean, that's actually sounds like every day of my life. the booze and the cheesecake part. That sounds phenomenal.
You don't have any shells?
No.
Your multicolored shells.
Right.
You can mix and match. This is so great.
Green barrel.
Do you work for them now? Stop plugging.
I love.
So what didn't he like about Minnesota? Because I do it with, I mean, I know the negative parts of Minnesota.
Right. Well, we all do. And I think whenever I'm in a place, anytime you're in a place that's smaller than the place that you're from, You just assume that it's Hicks.
Oh. And,
but he went as far as to say that it was, what was it, sexually repressed,
a pussy whipped. He said that there were fight clubs probably all over the place.
Sexual repression, that there was fight clubs. And I was like, okay. And I was like, well, there's good parts too, Patrice. And he's like, yeah, bullshit. And I was like, oh my God.
What kind of, well, how did he get the information on that there's sexual repression?
I think that came from his own head.
Well, he's sort of a little more confrontational with his crowd. So so I think, you know, if people aren't ready for that, or they're at the mall and they just ate some cheese.
Because he needs to go to what happens? Well, it's a comedy club situation. That's what happens. Is that either the promotion is not strong enough to what you know to the people who would come to see your show who would enjoy it, and then it's hard because like those vague crowds that are just kind of wandering around and they go, oh, it's free. Oh, okay. It's like, well, that person's not going to enjoy the show, I would say, about 95% of the time.
It's
Hit it for 5%, that's amazing. But what they're hoping is for drink sales, not return visits.
Right, you're basically a glorified alcohol salesman in a lot of those clubs. Do you prefer doing clubs? Or I know like Patton and Paul F. Tompkins and people like that have done the Triple Rock here as opposed to the, you know, Acme or the Mall and stuff. Do you prefer the comedy club setting?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's where I just keep getting booked. So
you show up.
I show up.
That'd be funny.
They go, oh, do you want to come over here? And I say, okay. I don't. What's the Shamrock Shake Theater?
It's like a punk. The local punk rock
punk
club.
Oh yeah, those guys. See, and they're music fans too. Right. Like, and I like music. I mean, who hates music? But some.
I'm getting close. I'm getting close.
But I guess I'm more of afraid of a music club environment. I like it when people are seated.
do you think that now, though? I mean, not now, but since comedians of comedy and stuff, and you're kind of associated with guys like that or those kind of crowds and those kind of people, do you think that you'd be more accepted in a place like that than you would have been before?
I don't know. Because it just depends. I mean, I know sometimes I got heckled on that, you know, those guys, which when Pat would always be so sweet, he'd come up and he'd go, you guys, this next person, she's got a really unique point of view, and you just really need to listen. I mean, she's one of my favorites. She's good for, like, he's just going like 15 minutes, and it's like, you guys, this is my retarded sister. she's just amazing. She has a lot of gifts, and you know, this is exciting for her.
She has pretty hair.
She's, you know, no, I don't know, no, but it was great to wear. And I think, I don't know. I don't think I've organized myself enough to try to find another venue. It's nice here at Acme Comedy
Absolutely.
Club.
Right, yeah.
Sticks.
I mean, you do well here.
Well,
so.
Guess what? You can order anything off the menu. Why would I leave that?
They have good mozzarella sticks, I hear.
I always order Caesar salad. But what if I didn't? What if I wanted something else?
And then that day, the Caesar salad was the best it ever was, and you missed out on it?
Right.
Yeah, no, I hear
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
It's conflict.
Yeah.
But as far as heckling, you have a lot of, I think, self-deprecating humor, I'll say. I think, is that a defense mechanism, kind of,
well,
against heckling?
Well, for sure, yeah.
If you get there first, they can't.
Yeah, yeah. If I poop on me, then it doesn't matter if your poop hits me.
I can't imagine. What kind of person would heckle you?
Oh, it's fun. It's fun. Have you ever heckled somebody?
I have.
It is delightful.
Do you heckle
people? It's so fun. I did in the past because I didn't realize how horrible it is. Like, I just thought, because it's really, you're not nervous. You're surrounded by your friends.
Comfort in the dark.
You're drunk. Yeah.
Or not even drunk. Sober is quite a good too, because then you're kind of, yeah, you've got an advantage in some way because you have time to think about things. And then especially if the comic isn't doing well. Well,
yeah, that's
when you're a standout.
It counts.
Yeah, so, but I think a lot of, or at least the kind of heckling I get isn't really heckling. It's sort of passive. It's like, oh, we're going to keep talking really loud in our group because we don't like it. And we're going to stay. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I've gotten some Yes, people have yelled out stuff. Or a lot of times, sometimes people say just say something mean, like, I don't, you know, you're not, you're pretty, but you're not funny, or something. Like, I had one guy say that to me. Like, I mean,
one out of two, though, that's not bad. That's just still 50%.
Oh, you got that right. Very pretty.
This is all true. Well, I'm gonna put in a little plug for you. Your last record was Unwanted Thought Syndrome.
Yes, yes.
Out on Comedy Central Records.
Yeah. Well,
stop the podcast now. Go get it. Listen to it and come back if you don't have it.
Okay.
When I saw the title for that, mm-hmm. I immediately related to exactly what you were talking about.
Oh, really? Oh,
just because it's the way I didn't know it was an actual like diagnosable thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I saw it's kind of an elementary way to put the thing that I have.
Right.
I don't know if it's not nearly as dire as I'm sure that you're you're discussing, but I have a thing with teeth. Like if there's any second that I have where my brain's not being occupied, I would just think of every way that my teeth can get knocked down. And
oh,
just weird shit like where I can't go to like
really?
I have to get I can't
I've never heard of this. What is unwanted thought?
That's terrible. It's when it's like you have you've heard of obsessive compulsive disorder where somebody's
right.
like, oh, I gotta wash my hands. Somehow they can never get clean. So the first mm-hmm. thought is my hands are dirty. And then that's the obsession is that my hands are dirty. The compulsion is that you're washing your hands. So because you're trying to get rid of it. And it just goes in a circle and a circle. So like you have the thought like my teeth are going to be knocked out. So do you do something like to like kind of make the thought go away?
I usually... Like I'll shake my head to the side and say a swear. I'll be like, oh shit, or like look, but
that's,
I'm conscious.
That's Tourette's.
I'm conscious of the yeah, thanks. I know that I'm doing it, and
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
do it if I'm around people. But
yes.
if I'm by myself, I'm like digging through a drawer, and I'll be like, oh, if I fell and my teeth hit this drawer, I would sit there and I would just go fuck and like just like quick get it out of my system.
Yeah, get out of your system. But does it come back anyways?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So that's why I had one once. Like I thought I would think of violent or sexual things towards my family and
Boom.
Friends, delightful. And, you know, and it's very taboo, kind of horrible things. Usually, or a lot of it, it's like, it's things that you'd perceive as like, I don't want to tell anybody that I'm thinking this. Like, one common one people have is that they're worried that they hit somebody in the road and they've got
right.
to go back and keep
oh,
checking
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, my, like, there's another one where people don't stand near the edge of something because they're worried they're going to jump off. Like, they'll get the urge to jump
wow.
off.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, okay. I think, all right.
But I think it is, I think it's a normal human brain thing, but then some people, you have the weird thought, but I think if you have OCD, then you keep obsessing about it over and over again because everybody
right.
has weird thoughts all
right.
the time.
So it's sort of like a offshoot of OCD.
Yes, exactly.
Right. A few years ago, I was visiting my brother in San Francisco, and
yes.
I had let's bring it up a notch. I had to share a hotel room with my mom.
Yeah.
And I was good night, and my head was just like thinking the worst thoughts. I'm like, I'm in a hotel room with my mom,
yeah.
and I'm like, I don't have any sort of weird mommy shit.
No.
But my head was like, go climb in bed with your mom. See what you know. But the whole time I'm going, God, my head's forcing me to think the grossest possible thought I can put
yes.
in my own brain.
Yes,
then I can't. Then I obsess about it. So I'm like, motherfucker, get it out of my head.
That's well. Like, have you heard of that? It's one of the. You're like a saint. It's like the saints, you know, like that one, like certain saints you read about in the Catholic Church or whatever, where they prayed constantly and they had lots of sinful thoughts. And a lot of them say that now it was OCD.
Right.
Like they're just like, I gotta, Hail Mary, Mother God. You know, they weren't saints. They're just like have severe OCD.
Right.
But I've totally had that. Like I couldn't sleep and I couldn't be in the same room with girlfriends or friends. I wouldn't have friends for, you know, I mean, I'd have friends, but I wouldn't spend any time alone with them
right.
for long periods of time because I'd be like, I'm going to kill you or try to rape you, you know, and it's like, you know, but it's weird. Once I went to an OCD specialist and he did this technique where they do a cognitive behavior where you flood yourself like with, anyways, I don't know, but it was gone. Like,
is it a matter of like where they make you face the like you know you have a bit about it where they make you face the ultimate
right.
outcome of what could possibly be the worst scenario you could deal with?
Here's what they had me do. They had me write out in the present tense what was happening. Like I'm cutting up my mom into chunks and I'm having sex with the chunks, you know, whatever, you know, with complete detail.
Right.
And then listen to it over and over and over again in just a tape recorder, and your brain gets bored with it. Because that's the thing with... They said that what happens is your... You could only reach in your brain a certain level of panic.
Right.
So it's like you get to that level of anxiety, and what you do with your compulsion is you bring it back down again. You go,
yeah.
And so, and once you can't peaks, see that on a podcast, but once it peaks, so what they're trying to do is make it peak as high as possible so that your brain gets bored with it and you don't.
And then it just fizzles out.
And
more
it goes less. Out and it's gone. Like something that plagued me for like. It was just ridiculous, you know, how many years, and I just looked it up. I looked up on the internet, and I was like, creepy thoughts on what, you know, and I, you know, with, you know, some sort of psychology thing, because I'm right. sure there's some other creepy thought sites that aren't as helpful for that problem. But, and it was amazing. I mean, it's not really a comedy-related topic, but it was awesome.
But it's good. It's nice because it's not, the voices that you do, you know that they're not coming from a place of, I'm just gonna make people laugh with funny voices. Like, I mean, anybody could. I mean, you're all of a sudden you're Jeff Dunham. I feel like I should on Jeff Dunham a lot on the show, but
you
I should.
Do.
But you know, then if you're just but you can tell that you've got, obviously you've got your head is spinning a lot.
So,
you've got a lot of thoughts actually that you want to get out. And I think that's what I'm getting at is the voice part of it. Is that a disguising kind of? If you can say like. If you say I'm going to cut my mom up into chunks in a different voice than your own, does it kind of help you say it?
I like doing characters because I think in some ways you can kind of lose yourself in a character,
right.
and it's really exciting because you don't know what the character's going to say next, and then also it's also a very passive way of saying what you really think about certain things or. I was talking to someone recently, I was like, oh, maybe I do some voices so that people go, oh, I don't like the comedian on stage, but I know that person, you know, like they go, oh, she can talk like that person. So maybe, oh, okay. It's okay now.
And,
you know,
and generally if somebody remembers one of your bits, then your entire set was good.
Oh, really?
Well, that's, is that, you know, because a lot of times you walk away from somebody going, how were they? Oh, they were okay. But if you can remember one of their jokes that you constantly, you know. Oh, that part was funny.
Yeah,
then you're like,
yeah.
That was awesome. Even though you can't remember a lot of it. I'm not saying that about you at all.
No,
but
no,
a lot of people that are kind of passive towards comedy that don't really, I'm not going to say not, don't understand it, but just go, like you said, just to chuckle and have a drink. If they can remember one of your voices, they go, oh, she was so funny. Yeah. She was phenomenal.
Right. I mean, it's just like music. Mm-hmm. I mean, because I am probably like the worst. I'm like a musician's nightmare audience. Like somebody goes, oh, why don't they play that one song I've heard three times on the radio? You know, I'm that person, which is the equivalent of somebody coming to my show and going, why don't she talk about, like, you know, her kids or, you know, she doesn't have kids, but talk about having kids.
I remember that joke you told before. Tell that one again.
Yeah.
Like, don't you know the punchline?
Familiarity is very comforting to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, it totally is to me.
Right.
Like, I, you know, totally, yeah, I feel the same way. I love watching the same comedians, you know, my friends do the same jokes. It's really fun.
Were the voices something that you always did your whole life? Was that something?
Yeah.
I was the same way, and my parents just thought I was a weirdo. Were your parents kind of supportive of you?
I don't think. My sister thought I was a weirdo. She would call me Moon Eyes and say they're taking me away to the hospital and then tie me to a bed and, you know, say if you get out, the men in the coats are coming to get you. And
wow.
She was great. Anyways, no, she went through some hard times. I'm sure somebody else was giving her the business. So, I mean, they sent me to a therapist when I was 9.
Oh, okay.
So they didn't
think it was a viable career option to be funny.
Well, I don't think, I don't think they thought of that. They thought actress, like an actress. I don't really like acting.
Right.
Or the regular acting where you're just talking. I don't understand how that works.
I'm emoting on cue, it seems like it just wouldn't be very fulfilling for any reason.
I don't understand. I've taken so many acting classes, and I don't understand it at all. Like, I just go, what are you guys doing?
Okay, now you're a pickle, but you're sad.
Like, I can do, like, I had an actor teacher say, "You're doing a caricature, not a character." I was like,
"Is there a difference?"
Yes, yes.
Like, I'm one of those guys that they draw my face at the carnival, like, all funny looking on a skateboard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, that's what I'm doing acting wise.
Right. Okay.
I play tennis.
The physical manifestation of the carny booth. Yeah. I think that's a backhanded compliment.
But, you know, that's definitely my acting style. Right. It's more of a vague sketch of a personality.
Yeah, I don't. That's whenever I've had to act and things that have just been school projects, friend stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I always just do like I convince myself, like, dude, just answer the question the way you would if it was just you doing it. And then I find myself going like some, hey, the bus is here. Right on, dude.
Yeah. Like,
what? That's not how you would answer that at all.
All right.
It's impossible to put yourself in a place to just be natural.
Be natural. I know I can't do it either. I'm totally, so yeah, like my brain, yeah, working like 100 miles a minute, like, this isn't natural. This is not, this is happening in a false environment. We're in an aquarium.
That stoplight only has two lights on it. Oh, this is not going to work for me. So, well, so in, when you're, stuff like that,
yes.
Acting classes, goofy shit that obviously you're able to be funny about. What makes it into your act then? What's your process, Marina? What makes it, what's funny enough to be put to disc or put to in the act? Or
just whenever I make an hour's worth. get a bushel, wrap it up in some twine.
Right.
Put it out there.
See what these bastards do.
Yeah. Is that any good?
Next.
Put it in the silo. I'm on ya. On to the next bit. Yeah, some jokes, I feel like some jokes don't seem to... Like, I keep holding on to this vegetarian joke that has never worked.
Drop it. Let's hear it.
No. Yes. Oh, drop it? Oh, I thought you meant let it go. Yeah, no.
That's, I think that's street lingo for like...
Drop it.
Put it out
okay.
there.
What the kids
okay,
say.
Here's a vegetarian. Okay. I think what I'm trying to say is I've seen all the videos of the animals suffering. I understand that the environment, it's not good for the environment to eat meat or milk products. But somehow I still can't garner the emotion when I'm making a food choice. Like, I can't see the tears of condensation running down my milk glass. I can't hear the soft song of my processed ham singing "We Shall Overcome." I know first they came for the cows, then they came for the pigs. Pretty soon, I'm lean meat. Gonna crossbreed myself for one of my relatives. I'm gonna come face to face with a basket full of deep fried you or my cousin and find out, you know, I like myself better crispy. I don't know. You guys laugh, but it has not gotten laughs on stage, so.
I think it's funny because I was a vegetarian for like five and a half years, maybe.
Was it? I thought it was like seven. You were a vegetarian for a very long time.
It was a long time. And then now when I look back, I went through that same mental process you just explained, like, you know, this and this. And you guys, you should really think about this because, oh, and now I still think the exact same thing with the caveat of I just don't give a shit, though. So
I know,
like,
that is,
comes with age. I think not giving a shit is part of maturing.
Or doesn't affect you directly.
Absolutely.
Like I went, yeah, like when you don't see, or it's just that process of, we're like frogs in a frying pan. We don't realize that the we don't hop out. If you put the frying pan, anyways, the metaphor. So we don't realize how horrible things are getting because it happens gradually. You know, like litter in the street, and you go, oh, there's just sometimes the Lake Superior used to be really cold, and now there are jellyfish in it. But jellyfish are neat. Seriously, there's freshwater jellyfish now developing in really? Lake Superior because it's so much more warmer.
I say that's a plus where I come from. I come from a jellyfish is a plus.
Yeah, yeah.
Even if they are poisonous or what are
they? Sting you.
They sting you.
You got to pee on your foot when you get stung.
Get to pee on your
foot. Oh, you get to pee. Oh. Pee on your foot. Did you know that sharks can hear your heartbeat through a surfboard? surfboard from 2 miles away.
No.
And then they can hear, if you put your dog on the surfboard, they can hear the difference between your heartbeats, and then they come to the harbor. All the tiger sharks will come to the harbor.
So if you have a dog and a person on a surfboard, then it hears the difference? What now?
Well, because dogs are an organic stranger to the ocean. And so I guess sharks will come for dogs rather than for humans. Because humans, they kind of know what it is.
Sure.
But dogs, they don't. Like, so then they come real quick.
What the hell is that on that surfboard?
And don't put your dog on a surfboard.
Yeah.
That's a general rule. Well, if you leave with anything after this show, don't put your dog on a surfboard. Do they know it's a dog, though? Or they just know it's a living thing?
I've never heard of that. Is that what you're saying? Like, they're just like, holy crap, what is that thing on the surfboard?
I want to eat it.
Sharks, okay, this is what I learned. Soft sides, their eyes are very vulnerable. If you're attacked by a shark, go for the gills or the eyeballs because they will die.
So you're supposed to attack back?
Punch it in the face.
Oh, my God, punch it in the face. That's what dolphins do.
That's what Popeye does, too.
Oh, there you go. But they're a hard top, and their bottoms are hard. So, anyways, I just learned this a real close friend of mine is a surfer. But no, I just met this guy for a while.
He said, I've been doing this a long time, Maria. One thing I've learned is no dogs. It's not a dog-friendly sport. I kind of feel like if they don't know, if the shark doesn't know that it's a dog and it still wants to eat it, I kind of feel like I have the same diet as a shark. Like, I just kind of eat anything that looks like things that I like.
You never realize how dangerous Spuds McKenzie actually was.
No, but I think that was kind of the downside of Spuds McKenzie, was he was dangerous. But, like, back to mozzarella sticks, if you had a mozzarella stick and, like, a deep-fried pumpkin, I'd probably eat both of them, just because they look similar.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like that's the same mentality.
Deep-fried
like
anything.
Pumpkin inside of the...
Oh, okay. I'd eat pretty... I mean, back to Spuds to McKenzie, what was his thing... Like, what was he?
He was a party dog. He was a party dog for Budweiser.
Animal. Yeah,
he was
an animal. Did he talk?
No, he wore a Hawaiian shirt, though. So that's kind of...
He hung around hot chicks, and there was beer around.
Would he walk in the commercials?
I think he just kind of sat there. There was parties usually going on around him.
He didn't do a lot of talking.
Was he chubby?
He was
a dog. What kind of dog was...
I forget. Some kind of terrier.
Spuds, and was he Bud Light?
He was beautiful.
I think it was Bud Light, something like that.
Anytime you see any living thing wearing a Hawaiian shirt hanging around scantily clad women.
He did wear sunglasses.
Party animal.
There's an insane amount of yelling going on.
Fights at the comedy club.
Yeah, even
great.
You know, sometimes you're doing your podcast and other people aren't respecting it. You need to step to it.
Jeez, I'm crow.
And you need to put hands on them.
That's where you come in.
That's right.
I'm not fighting. Because I can't.
Oh.
Between the three of us, we might be able to fight one person.
Is it okay if I eat ice on your broadcast?
Please absolutely. Do. Eat all the ice.
I'll give you more ice to eat. It's soothing, actually.
Oh, I love ice. I love different kinds
so good.
Of ice.
What's your favorite kind?
My favorite kind of ice is on Hillhurst Avenue at this place called Cheech's Pizza. It's been around for about 20 years. He opens an old metal... freezer and he shovels it out and it's like these little pellets.
Yep. Is this a southern thing? Is this California?
It's the pellet ice.
It's California.
See,
I don't know.
Have you noticed since from traveling the difference in ice cube size throughout the country? Up here, if you order let's say you ordered a Coke, you would get it with about 4 to 5 large ice cubes.
Yeah.
But when you go down south, let's say you get past like the Mason-Dixon line.
Okay.
You start getting the smaller and smaller, and the farther you get west.
You'd think it'd be the opposite.
Yeah, because it's hotter, but I don't know.
But is the amount of ice cubes less? Of course, in Europe, they only give you like one cube.
They're stingy with the ice, yeah.
If you get ice.
If you even get ice, which I don't like those countries.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody who doesn't give away ice for free.
For real.
Doesn't my grandpa didn't drive a tank through Normandy so I can have warm colas when I'm on vacation wherever the hell Normandy is. Is that in France, maybe?
Yes,
Germany?
It is France.
See? I'm very worldly. Yeah. Very, very evolved.
Oh.
But let's get back on track.
Okay.
I feel like we talked about
There's
ice.
A track
we talked
that
about
we're
sharks.
On.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I just wanted to... Comedians of Comedy was obviously very successful. For me, it was a dream because I was always the kid that liked live albums and B-sides. I'm just for like music and stuff. Kind of want to see the behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes?
Yeah.
I like to add plurals where they don't belong. Yeah. When that came out, it was kind of like, holy shit, because I've never had the balls to get on stage and do anything. I probably would never. But,
you can do it, and you don't have to have balls.
Sure, Brent.
True, very true. but for me, that was perfect, seeing kind of like the back, the underside of the touring comic stuff.
Oh, good,
and it was obviously very successful. How can just talk a little bit about, because I think it seems like it was... What was it, 8 days? Is that what the original
was? Yeah, it was just 8 days.
It seems like a world tour kind of thing. That's what you always picture, but...
It was 8 days.
How did the whole thing come about? And I'm sure you've answered this question a billion times, and I apologize for asking it.
It was just like Patton asked me, and I didn't know him super well, but I mean, he's super great. I was like...
which is a yes
and it was awesome. I mean he funded the whole thing, and it was just awesome because it was really a lovely thing to do, to, you know, to, for the comics involved. I mean, especially like I felt like it helped me in my show business career. And then because you could be yourself, like it wasn't a reality show type thing, it was just like,
it was just friends
wandering around.
Yeah, documentary.
A documentary.
Well, that's exactly what it was.
It's nice. And so it was just the thing I did. It was awesome. And then it became kind of a thing. We could go out and do shows. Then we got a little TV show, 6 episodes. And that was just 10 days shooting, you know. So, I mean, it was sort of TV magic, making it look like... I mean, I think it would be really neat. I'd like to see a documentary of people, you know, which most of the comedy industry is going from tiny town to tiny town all by yourself. Like...
Yeah. Words of wisdom?
Yes.
As a sort of an outsider?
Yes.
I would say...
Yes.
Tell jokes about sports. People love sports.
They do. You're right.
Sports. They love movies. Office, you know.
Is I like sports. I mean, you're right. I think a movie I should...
Ooh. I think some
Brett
people
Favre
don't like
is
sports.
A well, an endless well.
And if you he's wanna, the guy who keeps retiring and then coming
right.
and falling, and coming right. back and retiring and coming back.
And then people love him, and then he shits the bed, and then they hate him again. So that, I mean, it's there's something there. There's
no,
something
no,
there.
For sure there's something there. Okay, where's your... So sports, Brett Favre, that's what I should focus on.
Sports one.
What's your advice?
Your mom... Yeah, that one's always I always like when you talk about your mom.
But is this advice? What advice?
Oh, yes, it is. I like your jokes about your family and your mom.
So you say focus on that.
Yeah. And because sports, I'm not a sports guy.
Sports and family.
He's more of a sports guy. I'm
like
more of a nerd
sport.
Guy. I'm, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm gonna.
You're gonna walk
take
away
what
with
you
just
guys
a
say.
Wealth of material.
I'll come back next year, and then, you know, I'll come back with what I've done. See if I've, you know.
If Brett Favre is still alive and playing for the Vikings, you will clean up. They'll say that Maria Bamford had the best
Favre?
Brett Favre joke.
Just,
yeah.
It's Favre. Just,
don't try and Google it because your computer will explode because the V and the R are backwards.
You should just do a full Brett Favre album.
Maria Bamford's 2011 Brett Favre World Tour. Boom.
Oh my gosh. Right.
Boom.
Favre. Okay.
Big finale with the Super Bowl shuffle and everything.
What rhymes with Favre? Barv.
You'd have to really
Marv.
Marv.
Starve. Starve.
Ooh.
Oh, you won't starve when you hear more about Brett Favre.
And then hopefully you can roll the dice and hopefully somebody is named Marv in the crowd.
Marv.
And you've got a three banger right there.
Carve.
Boom. Yeah.
Carve. That's a nice word.
It's a good one to pull out during Halloween.
Carve Favre. I gotta work it out with my name and put it into.
You just got a kind of an insight into Maria's process, which we aforementioned process.
That's right.
Right here on the Twin Cities Tank.
Maria is at Acme.
She's got her eyes closed. She's
at Acme through Saturday. 8:30 and 10 on Saturday and Friday and Saturday, right?
I think so. But if you come late, no worries. If we give the wrong times.
You're still here. And she's still got your money. So.
Yeah. No, come on by. Come on by whatever time you think it might be at.
You should just start booking them as whenever works for you.
Yeah. Well, my new thing is I was thinking of develop a series, 13-episode arc, where it's appointment television. What I do is I come to your house at when you ask, 7 p.m. Sundays, and I perform the first episode in front of your TV.
Wow.
So, yeah.
This is really revolutionary. I think this is better than the sports thing.
Okay. Because I was thinking TV is becoming so, or media is becoming so individualized. Right. Let's go to the source.
Yep.
Right.
One audience, door-to-door sitcom.
Yep. How do they get you there? Do they win something or do they just ask?
No, they just pay the monthly cable bill. My fee. So it's like $5,000 a month. No. Let me see. I got to work it out. I got to do the money and the business plan.
I would say it's worth it. $5,000 a month to have Maria Bamford
come into your house.
Stand in front of your TV.
Do my half-hour show that's developing over a 13-episode arc, and you find out what happens next week.
And individualized per household.
Will there be cliffhangers?
There's going to be romance. There's going to be action. There's going to be reality. There's going to be everything in TV that exists.
I am excited.
Full penetration?
Sports?
Or what are we talking about here?
Full penetration.
Not you, obviously.
Not me, but talking about it, right. Certainly.
Good. I feel like it's just not discussed enough. I don't want to see it. It's gross.
I'm not sure what it is.
It's pretty disgusting.
I just heard about it.
I don't recommend it.
Isn't every penetration full penetration?
I think you can have halvesies sometimes. I don't know why.
When they put two ding-dongs in a hoo-ha?
I think that's double.
But full, what would that mean? What would be the difference?
I think it's one.
Just one?
That's when just balls are showing.
I feel horrible now.
I don't talk this way in front of ladies.
Listen,
I'm sorry.
It's life. People are doing this kind of thing all the time at night.
Out there in the real world, the streets.
Yeah.
Probably happening right now.
Yeah, in the forests, jungles.
Good God.
Anyways, there's nothing we should be ashamed of. Our bodies are temples celebrate it.
I'm not ashamed when I do it.
Oh, yeah.
But when other people do it and I have to watch, then I get ashamed.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Pornography.
Then it goes back. Then it just goes back to the whole sharing a hotel room with my mom thing.
Yes, I understand. Well,
too much
porn
to draw on.
My friend Jackie always says porn is you're watching somebody at their shitty job.
It's true. You get paid to... what was the word? Ding dongs and hoo-ha.
Yeah, put two ding dongs and hoo-ha.
Yeah,
anyways, you guys, we gotta go because we gotta go have a drink.
Maria, thank you so much. How to win your first record?
Burning Bridges tour. How to win? Then it's been Unwanted Thought Syndrome, and now Plan B is out on DVD, which is a one-person show, and it has DVD commentary by myself and my parents.
Is that the one of you on your couch in your home? Is that that one?
No, that one was the free one-hour download you could still get off my website, which is a one-hour comedy special from my couch with my two dogs snoring in the background.
Fantastic, by the way.
Thank you.
Pick up everything of Maria. She's absolutely hilarious. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And come out.
MariaBamford.com.
And come to Acme, Facebook, Twitter, all that shit. She's got everything. Thank you so much, Maria.
Thank you. No problem. No, thank you for having me. It's fun.
Of course. Spectacular. Thank you, Maria Bamford, for coming on to the Twin Cities Tank podcast. As always, we are on TwinCitiesTank.com. We have a blog there. Go to MySpace, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, all that shit. And see Maria Bamford at Acme Comedy all week. Through the weekend, April through the 17th. April 17th is when she's done. That's Saturday, 2010. I'll shut the fuck up. You're dead to me, Mexico.